the Boulder City Podcast, where we feature discussions with the unique personalities we find in our small town. I'm your host, Roger Gross, and it's election season again. Seems like the last election was just held, but like the last election, we're going to interview all the candidates for mayor and city council in partnership with Boulder City Social. This week, we kick off the series with an interview with Mayor Kiernan McManus, who is running for re-election. We plan to interview the incumbents first, this week the mayor, and next week Councilman James Howard Adams. Then we'll add each candidate once a week until the primary election day in June. McManus has been in office for 3 years and is seeking a full 4-year term. We sat down with the mayor at the Boulder City Podcast offices last week. The Boulder City Podcast is sponsored by the Emerald Isle Casino and Rainbow Club Casino in downtown Henderson, where slot players are treated like royalty. Welcome to the Boulder City Podcast. Our guest today is Mayor Kiernan McManus. Mayor, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
So we've got the election coming up. We've got a primary coming up, and it almost skated that with there's just two opponents. But now we got a third member, which means you'll have to go through the primary process. But I'm sure you're going to be prepared for that, and maybe it's going to be good to get it over with sooner rather than later.
Well, that's why we hold elections.
Yes, so. Absolutely. So you've been in an office now for the past 3 years. What's the most important thing you learned during that time?
Well, the past more than 2 years now, we've had the pandemic.
Right.
And so it's not so much learning as being reminded of what a special community this is,
right.
The way people came together, the spirit of volunteerism, mm-hmm. and looking out for one another. Again, I'm never amazed by it because I've seen it so often, but with this pandemic, it really came out, the spirit of Boulder City.
Yeah, no question. I think everybody kind of pitched in and did what they had to do to really make it a success. So what do you feel you most accomplished or you're most proud of during the past 3 years?
Well, it's an unfortunate situation, but I think the biggest change that's occurred and the most positive change was the replacement of the appointed officials that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that wasn't an act that I accomplished by myself.
Right.
It takes a majority of the council. But we had a city manager, city attorney, and city clerk that I don't believe had the confidence any longer. They were not taking any direction from the city council.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, there were many instances where they were deliberately misleading me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, just recently we had the evaluations of the people who are now the appointed officials, and it was unanimous on the council in high praise of them and feeling that they had really done the work that the council was looking for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that has put us on a much more positive path.
Right. Yeah, it seemed to be there was a lot of resistance, from those three officials, right from the get-go when you and the new members of city council took part. They could have been let go maybe in a better way. I mean, we've seen all this litigation now. There's been questions about how much it's being spent on the legal cost of their appeals, things of that nature. Why haven't you tried to settle this up until now?
Well, settlements have been offered.
Yeah.
And I do want to make clear too that the city attorney and city manager both filed lawsuits before any action was taken. So
mm-hmm.
this litigation that's ongoing was started by them
right.
prior to any action being taken whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, trying to get them to come to a meeting went on for months.
Yeah.
Because of some of the, shenanigans is the only word that I think is appropriate.
Right.
So we can't, I don't know that there was any way to prevent the litigation. Clearly they initiated it prior to any action being taken. Settlement offers have been made.
Mm-hmm.
Their responses, in my opinion, have been outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
We're in that position where we can either defend the city or we can put a ridiculous amount of money in somebody's pocket.
Right.
Now, there's always some sort of insurance against these kind of settlements. I mean, how much are we covered on an insurance basis when it comes to what eventually will hopefully be a settlement?
Well, we do have insurance through what's called the Pool Pact, mm-hmm. which is a statewide organization that provides coverage to cities, counties, school boards, that type of thing. So there is sufficient coverage there, I believe.
Okay.
We have also taken steps to ensure that if there was any amount that would not be covered by Pool Pact of a reasonable nature, that we have already reserved any funding. Again, I think it's important to realize they've lost their case at the district level. They then appealed that case. But at the district court level, the judge ruled that this was an anti-SLAPP suit on the part of these two individuals, mm-hmm. meaning a strategic lawsuit against public participation.
Right.
And once that ruling is made, the judge then awarded myself, former council member Folda, and the city their legal fees.
Mm-hmm.
So it is on appeal. We'll have to wait to see what the Supreme Court decides.
Okay, great. So you mentioned the pandemic. You know, there's a lot of money coming to the city from the federal government. Is the federal government, not the state government?
Federal,
right.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you know, it's going to be in the area of millions of dollars. How do you think that should be allocated?
We will get $21.7
million. Mm-hmm.
This is from the American Rescue Plan, and we've already received half of that money. I believe the second half is due here in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the guidelines under the American Rescue Plan, some of the money has to be spent in certain ways,
right.
And that's for water, wastewater,
mm-hmm.
and broadband projects. So our city staff has looked at, you know, where we can invest that money in the community. We think we've got some of that, but then there's other money that has fewer guidelines for it. One of the things I've already put forward is we still have people who are suffering from the effects of the pandemic. You know, they've not been able to find jobs, or
mm-hmm.
they
right.
Have fallen behind on rent or utilities. So $50,000 of that money has already been granted or made available for grants through Emergency Aid, who,
mm-hmm.
by the way, has done a fantastic job
sure.
of all of that. I'll be putting forth another portion of the money, a small portion of it, to allow children to engage in our youth activities at no charge for
mm-hmm.
the next couple of years. But that's just a small percentage. The
right.
larger percentage, we will be hearing on Thursday some of the recommendations from city staff. These water projects, we have, you know, the water shortage
mm-hmm.
That has been declared.
Right.
We need to do some things with our irrigation at the golf courses and,
right.
and those areas. So those are water projects. Wastewater, we think actually the Southern Nevada Water Authority is going to help us upgrade our existing plant
mm-hmm.
To allow us to reuse that water for irrigation.
Okay.
But we have some old pipes in town. We have,
right, sure.
you know, there are plenty of things, plenty of projects that we think we'll be able to do. Plus, you know, our fire and police would like some things. They've put in some requests.
Sure.
I'm sure we will find a way to spend the money.
There's always ways to spend it.
Absolutely.
Now, will the public have input into that?
Yes, there have already been a public meeting was held.
Okay.
The word has gone out. I know we've received dozens, if not hundreds, of suggestions from the community. And again, city staff is compiling all that information, and we'll be taking a look at it very soon.
Okay, great. So the slow growth ordinance, I believe, was a key element in your election, and certainly the committee, the council people who were elected along with you, obviously the people of Boulder City support it. What's your position on building more homes in Boulder City? Does slow growth mean no growth to you?
It does not mean no growth.
Mm-hmm.
It never was intended to be no growth. But as we've seen with the water situation now, you know, growing rapidly is not in the desires of the people who live here.
Sure. Yeah.
Time and again, they have voted, you know, it was a citizen initiative that
sure.
created it.
Mm-hmm.
So time and again, the residents have said, we want controlled growth, slow growth, conservative growth here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've done that. We've actually been building more houses over the last 4 or 5 years than we had probably for 10 years prior to that.
Sure.
You know, quite honestly, you know, we are looking at selling land around the Boulder Creek Golf Course. Mm-hmm. That could result in, you know, there was a meeting this past week where they're saying, I think it was around 190 homes. Mm-hmm. I believe after that project, we need to take a break. We need to step back, let that settle into our community mm-hmm. and see how things look for several years ahead.
Sure. Okay. So one of our surrounding towns that doesn't have slow growth is Henderson, and they seem to have be encroaching into El Dorado Valley. That's disturbing to a lot of people here. I mean, how can we kind of keep them at bay as it is?
You know, with the way the annexation laws here in Nevada are. Mm-hmm. Henderson went through that process. They kept it very low key.
Right.
We didn't find out about it until they were just ready to approve it. That land out there in the upper El Dorado Valley, mm-hmm. Over a year ago, I was asked to submit my opinion on it.
Right.
I said that land needs to stay as open space, mm-hmm. recreation land. The annexation has actually already occurred.
Yeah.
Now, some of that land was privately owned out there, and of course, there's, you know, if those landowners ask to be annexed, that's their decision. We are taking some steps. There are still some parcels out there that were federal land. We've
right.
already started the process to annex those to make sure that we do stop anything going forward. But this is going to be a challenge for us.
Right.
And I think Henderson is making an error. I think they're costing their taxpayers money by sprawling well beyond their traditional boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But we very well may see some development out there. I think the lower part of it wouldn't be developed for years.
Yeah.
But they've made that move, unfortunately.
Right. Well, we've seen how they've developed the sides of the mountains in their own community, and it's a little disturbing to think that would be, you know, encroaching over the hill there for sure.
Yeah, and Henderson's a great community. They help our city quite a bit. Mm-hmm. We have a very good partnership with the Henderson City government. I would prefer they stay on the other side of the McCullough Mountains.
Okay, great. So you mentioned the Land O'Mount Boulder City Golf Course, Boulder Creek Golf Course. We've got now a specific developer recommended, and they are recommending smaller lots. Where do you stand on that? I mean, do you think it should be the 5,000 square foot lots, or should it be larger than that?
Well, you know, when this first started, what my desire was is we would see some mixture of housing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we don't build houses here very often,
right.
I think that we need an opportunity to say, you know, let's consider some other things.
Right.
Quite honestly, and by the way, those smaller lots they're proposing would just be along Adams Boulevard.
Okay.
I would like to see something like condominiums or townhomes
right.
Along Adams, mm-hmm. and then larger homes as you go down
border the golf course itself, I would imagine.
Yes, yeah. And the newer homes that are right. along there. But I definitely think there's an opportunity to put in a mix of housing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have affordable housing, and
right.
I don't know that there's affordable housing anywhere in the United States
right.
anymore, to be
right.
honest with you. But if a young family, they can't afford the $600,000-$700,000 home,
mm-hmm.
you know, if there's a smaller home, 2 or 3 bedroom, that they could purchase for $300,000, which
mm-hmm.
still boggles my mind.
Right.
I think that we need that type of mixture of choices for people.
Okay. All right. Great.
And by the way, you know, if you build those smaller homes, there's no guarantee that it will be a young family that buys
sure,
it.
Right.
It could be a retired couple.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anyone
sure.
Buying the home.
Right, right. Or they could rent it out.
Even, and
you know,
and
so.
We do see that.
Right, yeah, no yeah. question.
Visit the Rainbow Club and Emerald Island Casinos for award-winning dining and the best selection of the newest video reel games, video keno, and video poker. Recognized by the Las Vegas Review-Journal's Best of Las Vegas Awards, Emerald Island Casino has been voted Best Video Poker, Best Paying Slots, Best Henderson Casino, Best Henderson Restaurant, Best Locals Casino Valleywide, Best Breakfast, Best Coffee Shop, and Best Diner. Rainbow Club's new restaurant, Triple B, was also voted Best Burger and Best Brunch. Emerald Island Casino and Rainbow Club Casino, where slot players are treated like royalty.
So we've had several restaurants and other businesses close down over, you know, as a result of the pandemic and also for other reasons. So what should the city do to encourage more businesses to open and thrive in the city? And if you could be a little specific with that, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, one of the programs that has been around for many years in Boulder City is called the Redevelopment Agency.
Right.
And that's where property tax money that is derived from the increase of value goes into a fund. And then we can make it available, or the city can use it for different projects within that redevelopment agency area. So there's an opportunity to be able to have somebody come in and say, you know, here's a building that's not being used or it's vacant right now. We can provide some funding for them to do a redo of the exterior of the building. We also have an economic development coordinator here in Boulder City, which is pretty unusual for a small town. Mr. Fistechin does a great job of letting people know what other programs might be available to them. And we reach out to other businesses and say, you know, Boulder City's got some opportunities here. You know, the success of the Cornish Pasty restaurant has been pretty stunning, really.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
So there are businesses that are interested in coming here, and certainly some of our local entrepreneurs are in the process right now of redoing some of those available storefronts downtown.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like there's a lot of excitement happening downtown there with some more restaurants coming in there. And Two Wheels Place, I understand, has a new
The Beer Zombies are going in there.
That's right. Yeah. That should be a lot of fun.
And, you know, as far as Nevada Way goes, you know, something else we are already doing is using money from the Regional Transportation Commission to build a new road that will run behind those existing businesses and provide access both to the expanded Railroad Museum and those businesses. So I think we've done quite a bit to promote these businesses and give people more access to them.
Yeah. Well, I think when that Railroad Museum really expands to where it's supposed to be, that'll be a real gem here in Boulder City and attract a lot of people.
I agree. It's going to be an outstanding thing for the town.
Yeah, I was just up there, I guess, a few weeks ago when they had a open house type of thing, and there were just people from all over the valley. It was great to see that.
Yeah, the volunteers have just done a fabulous job with that.
Right. So city voters recently rejected allowing OHV vehicles on the streets. It didn't seem to have quieted down the people who want it, though. I mean, they want it to be reconsidered, but other people say, you know, now it's against the law, and you should be a little more strict with keeping them off the streets. Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, when we do have a law, I think it does need to be enforced.
Right.
And I certainly hear from folks, especially those that live out towards the desert, you know, on the edge of town. Some of these people that ride them are just being impolite, to say, to put it nicely. As far as allowing them, the law actually already allows for that to be done. I'm not going to put something forward when we already know that a majority of citizens have said no.
Right.
But, you know, we have new members on city council. You know, if that's something they want to pursue, it's up to them.
Okay, great. So the voters also turned down a proposal to build a pool in the last election, but of course it was a very high priced pool at that point. People are saying the old pool is beyond repair; it'll cost as much as to build a new pool to repair it. Do you favor considering a more modest pool under a reasonable budget?
Well, something I did was to put together an ad hoc committee of local residents who have expertise in, you know, either building pools, running pools, swimming, or finance. And I believe we came up with a much more reasonable plan. So we're looking at something that would be not quite half of what was being proposed, a little more than half of what was being proposed. There would be no debt if we sell that land around the golf course. That was the ballot question that the voters approved. In addition, the voters approved the use of up to $7 million from our capital improvement fund, right, which has about $14 million in it right now. Mm-hmm. So we can do this without debt, and we can do it, I believe, for a pool that's a reasonable size. It would be an improvement over what we have, not right, just because it's newer.
Sure.
But yes, I think that that's something that can be done. There's been a pool here ever since I was about 5 years old.
Right.
And I think it's an important part of the community.
Yeah, I'd like to see something like that for sure. And also, it's developed a lot of world-class swimmers out of Boulder City.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had Olympic
that's right,
swimmers. We've, mm-hmm, you know, kids that have gone to good schools on full-ride scholarships.
Right.
It is a real benefit, I think, for the,
sure,
the kids.
Absolutely.
And, you know, seniors use it. Everybody can use it. You know, right now it's true that there are not all that many people using it.
Right.
But if you've been there lately, you might understand,
yes,
why that is. It's not in good condition.
No, it's not. It's the annual pulling off of the roof is a real chore, I would imagine.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And putting it back as well. So we also have the two municipal golf courses, and they're managed by a company, right, an outside company. And,
that's correct.
Are you happy with the way they're being managed right now?
Well, you know, before there were two separate companies. One
right,
did the municipal course, the other did, mm-hmm, Boulder Creek. Both courses now are being managed by Andy Schaefer,
right,
his company. We've seen the number of rounds played at the municipal course go up significantly.
Right.
Since Mr. Schaefer took that over.
Mm-hmm.
That's been very helpful to get the golf courses around a break even as far as the
right,
operations go.
Mm-hmm.
We still put a lot of money into those courses every year,
sure,
for improvements, but we're not having to constantly fill the backstop on the loss at there,
right,
at the courses. So in that instance, yes, it's been a good idea that these contracts were consolidated.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen real improvement there. There are plans to look at the municipal course as far as the amount of grass that's there,
mm-hmm,
that some of it may be removed. That's a recommendation from Southern Nevada Water Authority.
Right.
So we could see some changes occur there. There was already a program to remove the cottonwood trees because of the root systems,
mm-hmm,
those trees have. That's been going on for years now.
Right.
But we're going to have to look very hard at how much water we can save by maybe reducing some of the grass there. The Boulder Creek course was already kind of laid out as a
right,
desert course,
mm-hmm,
but I think there are three lakes out there. You know, water
right,
has become critical.
Mm-hmm. No question. But that could be minimized by using maybe some of the wastewater, some of the gray water in there. I know it's a lot of the courses in Vegas use gray water.
Yes. And, you know, with the technology that's out there now,
mm-hmm,
you know, the city of San Diego is treating their water and putting it back into their drinking supply.
Really? Okay.
Las Vegas, for decades,
mm-hmm,
you know, everybody talks about Lake Las Vegas.
Right.
Well, that's an artificial lake,
right,
and that is all the treated,
mm-hmm,
wastewater from the Vegas Valley going back to Lake Mead.
Right.
So I believe we can do that. We can treat that water, and instead of having to pull more and more water out of Lake Mead, we'll get two uses out of our water.
Yeah, no question. That would make a lot of sense. So, you know, you mentioned the golf courses, and there's a lot of great events in town as well. I mean, the Chamber does a great job, publicizing these things, but could there be something a little more at the government level, a little more a marketing group that maybe could be coordinated to really market the good things that are happening in Boulder City in terms of, you know, tourism attraction?
Well, you know, I mentioned Mr. Festection earlier, who's our economic development coordinator. We also have Lisa LaPlante as our
right,
communications director.
She's doing a great job.
You know, they work very hard,
mm-hmm,
in putting that information out. I think, you know, there needs to be some line drawn at a point, though, where there's a difference between government and business.
Right.
You know, we can make opportunities available.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the marketing goes
right,
of it, you know, that's probably more on the business side of things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
And I see some other opportunities here. I mean, we have, you know, the helicopter tour companies
right,
have
mm-hmm,
been harmed greatly by the loss of international tourists. But those international flights are starting to come back
right,
now. I would love to see the businesses get together with those tour companies and do something where there could be some marketing done to those folks that come out and take the tours.
Sure, sure, absolutely. So electricity rates have been going up all over Clark County, including Boulder City. Do you believe we can use some of the money that the city gets from the solar leases to mitigate some of that increase on Boulder City residents?
Well, just recently, we have been for years now, I believe the past 8 years, we've been using $500,000 of land lease money mm-hmm. for utility infrastructure. That was a ballot question that the voters had approved and is now expired. So I had put forward that we would renew that and continue putting that $500,000 a year from the leases in. Unfortunately, a majority of council voted against it. I'm not sure why. Mm-hmm. I know there were statements from our finance director about the use of funds and all, but we had been doing it successfully for the past 8 years. That's a way to keep our utility rates a little bit lower
right. And
use some of that revenue. So I tried. The others voted it down.
Okay, but you'd still be in favor of
it? Oh, absolutely. I think it's a terrific use of it.
Okay, great. So there are several advisory groups that report to the city, volunteers for the most part, airport, historic district, utility, audit committee I saw. In many cases, though, council doesn't either follow their recommendations or they don't meet on a regular basis. And, you know, there's been a lot of people who have volunteered for these committees and kind of left in disgust because, you know, their work isn't really appreciated. How do you view those committees? Is there a way to improve communications between them and council?
Yes, and I think, you know, I've made an attempt to do that. I'm a big supporter in our citizen committees here. We have people in this city that have extensive backgrounds in some of the things that our small city staff could use some advice, the council can use the advice. You know, I do think it's an overstatement to say that there are many cases where the city hasn't followed recommendations. I think that's actually very rare that has occurred. But it may occur, and sometimes, because I frequently either have attended these committee meetings or watched them on video or read the minutes, where I felt that they got off track, that they were examining criteria that wasn't completely on point. And with regard to, for instance, the airport committee, you know, they voted to stop their meetings when one or more members of that committee filed a lawsuit against the city. You know, why that member wouldn't have just said, you know what, I have a dispute here, I'm going to step aside from the committee and let the committee continue on, that was a vote that they did. Now that those lawsuits are getting resolved, that committee is being, new members were recently named to it, and I look forward to seeing them back in action. But again, I think it's a misnomer to say that we're not listening to these committees. It's rare that the council goes against them.
Well, I think there's some of the historic committee. There were some upset people there at one point, and you mentioned the airport committee. I mean, now there's one of the people that got appointed to the committee just because he likes aviation. He has no experience in aviation, and then one of the members who's an experienced pilot, a commercial pilot, and actually owns a plane at the airport, was thrown off the committee. I mean,
he wasn't thrown off. He just wasn't renominated.
Right.
He didn't get a majority of support from the council. And to say that a person who knows nothing, you know, I think some of the folks down there at the airport misinterpret or misstate what running an airport is about. It's not just about somebody having a pilot's license. You know, that is a multi-million dollar facility down there. I've been told that it is the third highest number of takeoff and landings prior to the pandemic in the whole state of Nevada. Mm-hmm. So having people who might have backgrounds in management or finance, those are all important backgrounds to have as well. So just because someone has a pilot's license doesn't make them an expert on running an airport.
Okay. So there's a proposal to build a new tower there. Are you in favor of that?
Well, My problem with that is that there is a master plan for the airport, and I disagree with that master plan because it calls for expanding that airport significantly. And I don't think anybody, you know, well, shouldn't say anybody, I think there are very few people in Boulder City who are in favor of a much bigger airport. You know, we always had an airport here. We've always had tour companies using the airport. But when we start talking about jet aircraft becoming more prevalent, when we start talking about running freight operations, things like that out of the airport, I think people are going to look at that one day and say, you know, that was a mistake.
Okay, great. So, you know, elections in Boulder City are nonpartisan, but there's really a significant desire for voters. I mean, when I vote for the judges, I mean, I have no idea who I'm voting for. I don't have time to really go through that. So people are wondering, you know, what your view of government is. Are you comfortable in telling us, you know, what party you identify with?
I am, and, you know, my opponents in the past have spent thousands of dollars to make sure everybody knows I'm a registered Democrat. I think what the reason we have nonpartisan races at the local level is to get that partisanship out of the politics. You know, in order to run a local government, if we wasted the kind of time that Congress does and bickering back and forth about things, we would have a far different city than we have today, and it wouldn't be for the better. So I think you can look at my record. I've been very conservative in how we approach growth here. With the finances of the city, I'm pretty much a conservative person. But yes, I am a registered Democrat.
Okay, great, great. So one more question: what do you still wish to accomplish if you're reelected to the next term as mayor?
Well, you know, even with the pandemic, there were a lot of things that we were able to get started, and I very much want to see those things continue. I think things like the expansion of the Railroad Museum, even though that's a state project, the city can facilitate that. We are doing a tremendous amount of work on our utility system right now, the electrical system, the water system, I hope the wastewater system. These are all projects that I would really like us to see continue and complete. You know, many of these projects were sitting on the books for a decade and never getting done. But I also would like to see us work through this water shortage that we have with our residents and say, you know, how can we continue to improve our parks, our recreation opportunities, all of those things? You know, I was born and raised here. I've lived elsewhere. I want to see this community just continue to be the beautiful place that it is.
Great. Well, I think that's everybody's wish. So, Mayor, thanks for taking the time, and good luck in the upcoming election, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you when you're reelected into the next term.
Well, thanks very much for the opportunity, Roger. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us on the Boulder City Podcast, sponsored by the Emerald Isle Casino and the Rainbow Club Casino in downtown Henderson, where slot players are treated like royalty. Special thanks to Boulder City Social for partnering with us on the election series and helping to disseminate the program. Join us next week when we sit down with Councilman James Howard Adams.